Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. Art Burns here on a beautiful Wednesday morning out here in Denver, Colorado. I'm really excited to be here with you today. It's been a few days, you know. I owe you a podcast. I'm really, really sorry. But on Friday, right, when I was supposed, or no, not Friday, on Sunday, I owed you a podcast on Sunday because my days off are Mondays and Tuesdays, and so I did not record a podcast on Sunday because Saturday night into Sunday, I was up all night with the most just horrible and just painful migraine headache that I've had in a very, very long time. I actually, when I was growing up, I actually used to experience migraines as a young child, like 2 years old. They actually had me in the hospital because they couldn't figure out what the heck was wrong with me. I would just be screaming in pain. And so, yeah, so it was delightful. But for all of my young childhood and until I was a teenager, you know, I used to get like just debilitating migraine headaches. It would last for days and just, you know, just literally. And I hadn't had one of those in a good 35 years. And yesterday, or on Monday, Sunday rather, it hit, one of these things came on like a load of bricks. And so I'm really, really sorry that I didn't record a podcast on Sunday as I wanted to and as I was excited to do. But I just, you know, again, it was just, I couldn't even focus my eyes. It was just, it was really, really tough. So I actually had to call off a couple of appointments. I was able to reschedule most of the appointments for yesterday and Monday. It's so confusing with these days off, but I just wasn't able to do the podcast. So I hope you can forgive me, and I hope that you will, find it in your heart to turn back towards these podcasts and YouTube channels and accept my humble apology at missing the one episode last week. But please understand that I'm here to deliver everything that I'm always promised. Okay. And so today I'm going to cover what I was meant to cover on Sunday, right? Which is honesty, right? Honesty. Now, we talk a lot about integrity here, right? And I've talked a lot in the last few days. I've talked a ton about self-compassion, right? And so when we talk about self-compassion, right? And we talk about, just the integrity and the ability to be, you know, to allow self-compassion to arrive at our integrity and arrive to our truest and most authentic self, right? That's the kind of idea that we're going for here. At least that's a big part of all of the work that I talk about here, right? Because what happens is when we, you know, most of us, as we're growing up and even as we're adults in the world and everything else, right? We are, you know, most of us find ourselves, and I know I did, and I know I've talked to tons of people who really echo this experience, so I know I'm not the only one, and I don't know if it's true for you or not, but I'd love to hear from you and know whether it's true for you or not. But most of us have this sense that we have to be something in order to please others. Right now, I've talked about this at length in my own life, right? When I was growing up, you know, I always knew that I always felt in my core, right? I felt that part of who I was to be, you know, kind and friendly to others, right? That was just something that I always felt. Like, I remember, you know, in grade school, like in, you know, first grade, kindergarten, you know, I remember there were kids that were, you know, like I was the one who was always trying to befriend the kids who were sitting alone, right? I was the one who, I remember my very first friend in, first grade or kindergarten, his name, I used to call him Tony Baloney. His name was Tony, and he was Spanish, didn't speak a lick of English, right? Not a single word. And yet we would go and we'd go have pizza together after school. You know, it must have been like first or second grade or something like that. But the pizza place was right in between the school and my house. So it was not, in New York City, that was not unusual for 8 or 9 year old kids to stop and have pizza together, you know. But literally, I remember just, you know, I would say Tony Baloney and he would laugh for like 5 minutes and then And then he'd stop laughing. I'd say, Tony Baloney again. And he'd start laughing again. And that was our completely and totally our friendship, right? And Tony, if you're out there, man, I love you. I think about you all the time, but I'm sure you don't. I don't, maybe you hear me, maybe you don't. But anyway, that was the kindness that I always felt, right? And that's what I felt in my core, right? But through teaching and through conditioning that was at the hands of, you know, of many adults in my life, whether they were teachers or soccer coaches or baseball coaches or my parents, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my friends' parents, their cousins, their aunts and their uncles, all that, right? You know, through a culmination of all of these influences, right, I came to believe that being kind and being compassionate was not a good idea, right? That this was something that was somehow a form of weakness or a form of, allowing the world to have its way with you almost, right? Like that's the way it was always framed. And it wasn't like anybody sat me down and said, hey, Art, you know, we're not kind people. You know, we have to be mean sometimes and we have to look out for ourselves. It's not like anybody, you know, sat me down and told me that, right? Or gave me some kind of handbook or a video lecture or something like that, right? When I was 6 years old or 5 years old. No, nothing like that happened, right? It just kind of, you know, again, it's not that there's an intentional, well, let me put the brakes on that, right? So in the parenting world, right, intentionality is very important, right? But my parents and the parents of those who I was connected with when I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, there was very little intentionality in the parenting, right? And so it's not as though parents were, you know, worried about like what their kids were going to see, right? And it wasn't like the parents were sitting down again and saying, you know, this is what's important in life. This is what's not important in life. This is how we conduct ourselves. This is what we do. And none of that kind of stuff, right? And again, that's not very, it's not common for that kind of stuff to happen with parents. You know, we're all living, right? We're all just trying to make it through this world. And when you have kids and adding kids on top of the rest of the pressures that you have in your life, it gets hard, right? There's no question about it. It gets really, really hard. So I forgive everyone who taught me in this indirect way, right? But the idea, so I mean, I don't want to get too much into the parenting thing, but I have worked with parents before to, you know, to be mindful about their parenting, which is just to pay attention, like pay attention to what you're saying, pay attention to what you're doing, pay attention to what your children see you do. Right. So there's, you know, so obviously there's an intentional way that you can do that. But that was not part of the conversation as with my, you know, the grown ups surrounding me when I was a young child. Right. And so instead, you know, I just followed what I saw them doing, you know, and again, it's not like everybody was, you know, mean just for the sake of being mean or something, but there was always this sort of, you know, like everybody's nice up till this certain point at which, now we got to be mean and we got to do what we got to do to get our stuff done, to get what we need, to get, you know, to get what's coming to us, you know, to get what's ours, right? And so for so long, right, I put on this mask, right, of this person who was, you know, like the people around me. You know, I was kind and nice to a certain point, right? And I was always the nice guy. And that's something that's very, you know, very sort of prevalent. And in one of my recently did a 6-week course of, real introduction to mindfulness, very basic stuff, right? A 6-week course. And one of the people who joined my 6-week course was somebody who's been practicing mindfulness for over 40 years. So in other words, he's much more experienced than I am. And here I am teaching this man an introduction to mindfulness. That was one of the most awkward things that I've ever experienced 6 times, you know. But it was awesome. It was really, you know, and I have another client who's also very, you know, he's got a couple more years than me too. And I love that. I really do. Like I told my, you know, the client that I work with, you know, when we first were talking about when he was first coming in and talking to working with me, you know, I said, it's like, I feel like I'm playing tennis with somebody who I can hit the ball really hard. You know, like I can, you know, obviously it's a weird metaphor, but that's the one that came to mind. But the point is though, that when I'm working with someone who's got that much, you know, experience, right? Like we get into some really deep conversations and some really, you know, we touch on some really deep stuff regarding the concepts of mindfulness and compassion and presence and curiosity, all the stuff that I talk about here, right? And so anyway, this person in the class, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, he made a comment that, you know, we're talking about compassion. It was the time in that the 6-week course that we were talking about loving kindness that leads into compassion. And I was kind of talking about how the difference between, you know, loving kindness and, you know, and what we consider as being nice, right? And you know, because we all consider ourselves to be nice people, right? We all consider ourselves like, hey, I'll hold the door for somebody. I'll help somebody. You know, if they drop something, I'll help pick it up. You know, I let people in the turn lane, and I'm a nice guy, right? And what this person who's been practicing for, you know, four times the amount of time I have, he said that, you know, we, you know, a lot of people kind of feel as though they're, you know, they're a nice people, nice guy, right? And that, but he said in the context that was like kind of like a cop out, right? That we consider ourselves to be nice, right? So therefore, we're good, right? Like, hey, you know, I'm one of the nice guys, right? And that's the way my family was all the time. Right? All the time. We're nice people. Come on. We say, hi, how are you? We'll give you time. Well, you know, you need a dollar, I'll lend you a dollar. You know, all that kind of stuff. Nice people, right? But that doesn't mean kind, and that doesn't mean compassionate, right? Because kindness and compassion are what is standing when everything else gets really difficult, right? When it gets difficult, you know, the nice person, when it gets difficult, the nice person turns into that mean person. Right. But I always knew that that wasn't who I was. Right. But I wore that mask because the very people who I looked up to in my life, like the very people who mattered in my life, you know, the people who were responsible for me, for everything, the people who represented everything to me, that's how they behaved. And so I came to behave like them. And all the while, though, my whole life, I felt that there was something just off, you know, like I wasn't being me. And it was only when I was allowed to really look inside and see what was really happening, right? Look inside myself and see, you know, why is it that I have this tendency to be mean and short with people? Why is it that, you know, that I get this certain point of frustration that unlocks this meanness? Why does it happen, right? Where does it come from? And that's probably more the more appropriate and important question is, where does it come from? Not so much why, because why is a tricky question. And I actually talk about this a lot, and I'm sorry to digress here, but this is valuable. I talk about this a lot with my clients, and I kind of made a mistake just now using the word. But when we ask ourselves why, right, you know, that's a question that our brain just doesn't let go, right? Like that's something that like, well, let me put it this way. If we ask why and we can't answer that question, that causes problems. Right. And that causes the kind of problems that our brains are just not willing to let go of very easily. Right. The question of why, like the reason for something, you know, it's, you know, until our brain has the answer to that, it's going to keep digging and keep trying to find the answer. And what's worse or more difficult or more treacherous, maybe, right, is that if our brain can't find the answer, it's going to make up the answer. Right? It's going to create a story, a narrative that's going to try to explain the answer to that question, why, right? And so so we wind up, when we ask ourselves that question, why does this happen? Why is this so, right? When we start asking ourselves that question, it's a little bit of a dangerous place, because again, if we can't answer the question, then it's going to lead to some pretty high stress, you know, kind of, it's going to invite stress into our brain and into our body. And then things are going to get even more fuzzy from there. So if you were looking for why, you're going to get further and further away from that answer that you're looking for. And so not to digress even further, but there's a couple of really simple ways that you can address that when you're asking yourself that question, why? Okay. So contact me for that. Let's move on with today's topic, but contact me if you would like, and I can give you some great tips and sort of mini little practices that can help you when you're stuck on that asking the reason why, right? So let's put the why aside for now, and let's ask a more appropriate question, a more important question, as I mentioned. Where does it come from? Right? Like, where did it come from? What, where is this, you know, this trigger in me that shifts me from the Dr. Jekyll to the Mr. Hyde, right? Like, where does that come from? Because if I'm asking where it comes from, well, then I can just be curious about it, right? And I can keep just looking and just asking, like, have I found it yet? Have I found it yet? But it's not an elusive thing. You know, it's in there, right? It comes from somewhere in here. And as we develop that awareness, and we keep asking ourselves that question, where does that trigger happen? Where is that, you know, part of me coming from? And what makes that part of me that part of me, and all that, right? When we can turn towards these big questions, right, then we can start to get some very important answers from those big questions. And once we have those answers, that's when life starts to change. And that's the really beautiful thing, right? And so, but again, it's only when we can be honest in how we're, you know, in our assessment of ourselves, right? The honesty is key. And that wraps back into the integrity, right? Because integrity and honesty are, you know, hand in hand, right? And so the idea then becomes, right, the ability to look as honestly and as, just stark honestly, right? Like really honestly, look at ourselves, look at all the things that we, you know, that disappoint us about ourselves. Look at all the things that make us happy and proud about ourselves, right? It's all important. And if you're not going to look at all of it, then you're not going to be able to come to that conclusion of where does it come from, right? Which is essentially really answering the question why it happens, right? Like that's the, but again, why it happens has so many different, you know, sort of potentials and permutations to it, right? It's just such a broad question, right? But if you're asking where something comes from, well, once you find that answer, then you're going to have the why too, right? It's just going to be one and the same, right? It's going to answer itself in a way, all right? So what does it mean to look at ourselves that honestly, right? You know, that's where, you know, what we talk about here in self-compassion and in non-judging awareness, right? It's the ability to look and say, you know what? You know, for 35 years, you've been doing this thing that you don't approve of and you're not happy about and you're not proud of. It actually, you know, it hurts, you know? But being able to look at it and being able to sit with it, right? That's when things can start to change, right? And that's where we start to build a whole new level of trust in being honest, right? Because what prevents us from being honest about ourselves, right? It's that same mask that I talked about earlier, right? It's the fear that somebody is going to see us in a way that they are not going to approve of, right? Somebody's going to see us being kind even or compassionate even at my own expense, and they're going to ridicule me for it, right? Or they might admonish me for it. They might even punish me for it, right? And so I'm protecting myself by putting on this mask, right? But once the mask goes on, you know, Jack Kornfield tells this beautiful, beautiful story about a golden statue in Thailand, a golden Buddha statue in Thailand. So, you know, for 500 years, there was a Buddha statue, not gold. It was actually covered with, it was made of clay and painted. And it wasn't that beautiful, but it was known to be the biggest statue of the Buddha in all of Thailand, right? It was in the capital city of Sukhothai. And so over the years, you know, this statue has stood, you know, in that part of the world, there was, you know, like terrible, you know, typhoons and very dry seasons and very, you know, wet and cold. And it's a very volatile weather over there in Thailand, right? Which is not very favorable for clay, right? It's the things, you know, dry out and you know, rain season, dry season. It's not, you know, it's going to create a lot of cracks in the clay, right? And for 500 years, this thing stood, you know, warring governments and armies and everything else, and this thing still stood. And so at one point, one of the monks who lived in the monastery where this statue stood, right, he noticed that there was you know, a crack in the clay, right? And he said, this thing's going to have to be repaired pretty soon. But he noticed that the crack had gotten so wide that, like, he was curious. He says, let me look inside of this thing. So he shone a flashlight inside of it, and what he realized shining back at him was pure gold. And so soon after that, they took off all the clay on the outside of this statue, and they realized that it was a solid gold statue of the Buddha, the biggest gold statue of the Buddha probably in the world, right? So they came to believe that that you know, previous generations must have covered up the gold to protect this beautiful statue from, you know, invading armies and you know, thieves and all that kind of stuff, right? And so but at some point over 500 years time, right, it became forgotten that it was covered up in the first place, right? That it was, you know, that it just became the statue. It became, this is what the statue is. It's this clay statue. It's not a gold statue. It's a clay statue. But at some point, the point is, at some point in time, everybody forgot about the gold inside, right? And so coming into, you know, well let me say it this way. We do the same thing that those monks did to that statue, right? When I was a kid, I learned how to cover up my kindness with a layer of a protective layer of clay, right? But like the monks in that monastery, at a certain point, I forgot that I covered myself up. And I started operating from that place of the defensive layer of clay, as opposed to operating from that inner nobility, that beautiful shining gold that's inside of me, that's inside of you, that's inside of all of us. And so when we start to really look at ourselves and we start to really accept ourselves and we start to practice self-compassion towards ourselves, what we can do then is we can remove all that clay from outside of us, and we can trust that the gold that we show to the whole world, that is going to be enough, and it's going to be the most perfect thing we could possibly be. Right? But it's that trust. It's that trust in ourselves that no matter what somebody else might feel, like something, you know, there's still people, plenty of people in my life who tell me that I let people walk all over me. They tell me that I'm too soft. I'm too forgiving. Okay. You keep talking. Hope you, you know, lie to me. Don't lie to yourself, though. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but like, I know that they're not correct because of the work that I've done. I'm very confident. I trust in who I am now. So I don't have to, you know, so when somebody tells me that I'm being too forgiving, which is just absurd, but, you know, when somebody tells me that, it's like, okay, yeah, well, you're still operating from your layer of clay. I'm letting my gold shine through. And if you don't love it, well, then I'm willing to accept that, you know, that you just need to, you know, like if I can't have you in my life because of this, well, then that's just what's going to happen, right? And I can trust in that. But I can also trust that most people are not going to abandon me just because I'm kind and compassionate, right? Most people, in fact, are going to be drawn towards me because of that. And so that's the trust that comes in. Right? When we're really honest with each other, with ourselves, right? When we're really honest about ourselves and with ourselves about ourselves, we can then afford ourselves that kind of honesty. The kind of honesty that just, you know, always, all the time, just say what is. Because whatever happens, we have our integrity, we have our presence, we have our acceptance, and we can handle whatever consequence, whatever reaction happens as a result of our kindness and our goodness and our nobility. It reminds me of another thing that I talk about with a lot of my clients here and there, is that I read this somewhere, and I don't remember exactly where, but the notion of a bird sitting on a branch of a tree, right? When you see it, you know, we can all see that all the time, right? If we're looking, right, we'll see plenty of birds sitting on plenty of branches of plenty of trees, right? Not a single one of those birds is trusting of the branch on which it stands, right? It could care less what happens to the branch. If the branch breaks, there's no problem there, because the bird trusts its own ability to be able to fly, right? So I trust my own ability to forgive, to accept, to love, and to be just compassionate and kind all the time, right? I trust my ability to do that. And I trust that if I just keep doing that, then in the end, everything's going to, you know, everything's going to work out on one level or another. But it, no matter what happens, at least I have that integrity and that honesty and that trust in myself. All right, if you'd like to talk about any of this, okay, because this was a lot today. I covered a bunch. And so if you have any questions or you'd like to get into a conversation and learn a little bit more about this and learn how to do it, that's the key, right? Let me know, okay? Hit me up with an email. You can just reply to this email. If you're seeing this as a link in your email, just reply to the email. Or you can book a call with me. And I'm going to give you a link in the description below with which you can book a call that already belongs to you. Okay, this is how I'm phrasing this lately, okay? This is a free session that is already your possession. All you have to do is claim it. And you can do that with the link in the description. All right, everybody. I wish you well. I'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you all have a great day today. Talk to you soon. Bye.